Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, like Dave said, we had a good time yesterday. We had a little bitty short healing school over at a synagogue, a Jewish synagogue. And I got tickled at the, whatever you call him. What is he? He's not a pastor. What is he? Rabbi.
Rabbi David.
Yeah, I got too many names there. So anyway, he came back in from New York early. So he could hear me speak yesterday. And of course, when they got up and introduced me, he says, now this, he said, how long have you been doing this? I said, well, 20 or 30 years. And he said, wow, I guess you've learned a lot of things in that period of time, haven't you? And I said, yes, sir, I have. I've learned a lot. So he got up and he said, this is Pastor Thurman Scrivener. He has a healing ministry. And in the next 45 minutes, he's going to tell you everything he's learned about healing. I got up there and I told him, I said, I don't think that's possible. You know, so anyway, I went about an hour and 15 minutes and nobody left. So it was, yeah, and I will have to say it was a full house. They had even opened the side curtains and put chairs everywhere. I don't think there was an extra seat left in the house nowhere. But people need to know what belongs to them, you know, if they know Jesus. There's something else that I think that we need to start practicing. I mean, I do this all the time out of habit. I've been doing it so long. You know, I mean, I say, praise the Lord all the time. You know, Jesus is Lord. You know, praise the Lord. He's my Lord. You know, I mean, I'm just constantly saying those kind of things. Now we're talking about prayer right now. And last Sunday, we were talking about prayer. Today, we're going to still be talking about prayer, what the Word of God says about prayer. And just to tell you, if you're speaking His name, in other words, when you run, you know, I think that we should get in a habit, especially here in church. I mean, you may not feel comfortable doing this everywhere like I do. I do it everywhere. It makes no difference where I am. You know, I'm in an elevator. You know, I mean, I'm in a restaurant, you know, or whatever. I'm talking about Jesus because He's everything to me, everything. And so I think we need to get into a habit of saying, Jesus is my Lord. Now, when you come to church and you shake hands with someone, I want you to say, I want you to start practicing this. You know, here we're church, and I'm not asking you to do this in a grocery store unless you feel comfortable with it. But here, if you're in church and you walk up to somebody and you shake hands with them, I want you to say, Jesus is my Lord. Do you know Him as your Lord? Because you might be amazed. You know, the Scripture says, the Spirit of God says that if somebody cannot say Jesus is Lord, they don't know Him. You can only say Jesus is Lord by the Spirit. So if I ask you, is Jesus your Lord? And you can't tell me, you can't say Jesus is Lord. In fact, I will tell you, I had a lady. In fact, the very meeting that we had where Kim got her back healed over in Dallas, it was, I don't remember what lady it was, about the third or fourth or fifth woman that came up for prayer. I told her, I said, now I just want you to relax. Because the Lord had spoken to me that day and told me to do this. I had never done this before. And He said, I want you to pray for everybody that has pain, and I'm going to take away their pain. And so He didn't tell me exactly how to do it. So I just told people, I said, now, I want you, when I pray for you, I want you just to walk up here and just put your hands down by your side and just relax, close your eyes, and just let Jesus just engulf you with His love. And I said, I'm just going to start praying over you and asking the Lord to take away your pain. And I said, when your pain leaves, I want you to go sit down. Wow, the first one or two, it just almost didn't get hardly a word out. They wow, my pain left. And they went, you know, you don't see this very often. I've only seen it that one time myself. But as people started going to sit down, and they said their pain had left, this one lady, she's standing there. And I finally tell her, I said, you know, I'm praying and nothing's happened. I said, I want you to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And she said, G. I said, no, ma'am. Say, Jesus is my Lord. Now, can you say that?
Yes.
Don't tell me yes. Say, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. I don't want to hear yes. You can lie to me in your yes. But if you say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. You need to be able to say, Jesus is Lord. Is that right?
Yes.
Now then, you know, I in fact, I don't care. It may take you a second, But I want you just to turn right or left until you have spoken to the person on both sides of you, and I want you to look at them and say, Jesus is my Lord. Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. If there was anybody that could not say that to you, if they did not repeat that to you, you need to know that there could be a problem. They may not know Jesus as their Lord. Because the Scripture says only by the Spirit of God can we say Jesus is Lord. And so this little lady that came up, you know, for healing, I didn't understand why her pain wasn't going away. And I was praying over her, and these other two or three or four, whatever it was, they got healed real quick, and she's still there. And I finally said, ma'am, I want you to say Jesus is Lord. And she couldn't say Jesus was Lord. She said, G, G, G. That's all she could say. And so I finally realized that there was a spirit that was keeping her tongue from saying that because she didn't know Jesus. So when I realized that, I just said, knowing that I have all power and all authority over the evil spirits and they have to be subject to me, I said, Satan, I take authority over you and I command you to come out of this woman right now in the name of Jesus. I said, now, ma'am, say Jesus is my Lord. And she said, Jesus is my Lord. It was that quick. Now, see, if God hadn't have done it like he did it that day, I would have never known this little lady didn't know Jesus. But she didn't know him. She's running around in the midst of us, being one of us, but yet she doesn't know who she is. And she has no knowledge of who Jesus is. And so he's able to hide that in the church because some people never say Jesus is Lord. But that day when those 20 or 25 people was lined up there, when I came to her and she could not get healed, he would not heal her, and because he was not her, she was not his. And so that little gal got saved right there and got healed that day. Once she got saved, she got healed. Through prayer, Jesus told us how to do everything, did he not?
Yes.
You know, and so we need to start telling people, especially at church. Now, I would recommend that when you get real comfortable, when you meet people, and you know, in church, say, every time I shake hands with you or whatever you do, walk up to me and take hands with me or just say, hi, Pastor, how are you doing? Jesus is my Lord. I want you to start saying that. I want you to start practicing. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Lord. Now, did the Lord also say that if you do not acknowledge me before man, I will not acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven? So don't you think it'd be a good idea is if we start practicing? And the easiest place in the world to practice was at church, you know, because everybody you meet's probably going to be a Christian. In fact, it'd be like that little lady that come in here last Sunday. She said, I never been to a church where they teach you that we need to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. But she said, I heard you say the other day that if we don't produce fruit, God might just cut us off. That means kill us. She said, I never heard that in my life. So she said, I thought, wow, I better start producing some fruit for the kingdom. I better start asking people, are they Christians? She said, the last week, I have led 10 people to Christ. All because she's asking, are you a Christian? And they said, no. She said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. And so she said, I would talk to him about Jesus. She said, I'm praying, Lord, you know, give me people to bring into your kingdom. Just use me for your glory. Well, let me tell you can't ask God to use you and he's not going to do it. He's going to use you. And since we're studying about prayer and how to get it done, you need to learn to pray. Lord, give me the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that I need to be able to lead people into your kingdom. Do you think God wants everybody to come into his kingdom?
Yes.
Yes. Did he love you?
Yes.
Does he love everybody?
Yes.
The same, he cares, makes no difference who they are. He loves every one of us the same because he made every one of us and he wants you to come into his kingdom. So I think we really need to get practiced up because just think, if that little gal last week, because she had heard me teach what I'm teaching here, if she had led 10 people into the kingdom, what does the Word of God say about the angels? What happens when just one comes into the kingdom? Yeah, there's rejoicing in heaven over one soul. Can you imagine the going on? I can only imagine as this little gal was leading these 10 people to Jesus, I can just imagine the angels just bursting out into worship and praise. You know, because this little gal led 10 people into the kingdom. But just think, every time you lead somebody into the kingdom or every time you talk to somebody about Jesus, those angels are worshiping and praising God for what you're doing. Like I've told all of y'all, I've told you about my little button story, you know, how I went to the Baptist church over in Denton, you know, and I went for a whole week, and they taught us, you know, how to minister to people, you know, me and the guy beside me. I never knew him until we started sitting together. I went over there to learn how to win somebody to Jesus. And of course, like I told you, you know, I didn't even feel comfortable talking to him about Jesus because I didn't know him. You know, that's where I was back in those days, but we learned. And so after a week, I was feeling pretty comfortable with this guy, you know. It's like if Franz here, if I didn't know him at all, I might feel uncomfortable about talking about Jesus. But after we've been together for a week, I don't feel uncomfortable at all talking about Jesus with you because I know you know him, right, Franz? And so with him and me, it got to be the same thing. And then after the graduation, you know, they gave me that little button and I put it on my coat and I asked them what it's for. And they said, you wear this everywhere you go so that when somebody says, what's that button for? You say, oh, that's to remind me to tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. And then you say, well, what was that? Everybody wants to know what the best thing that you ever did, right? When you say, oh, that button's to remind me to tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. Wow, what was that? The day I got saved. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I thought, oh my goodness. And so I'll just have to tell you, some of you haven't heard the story, but when I went to that class for a week, the next week, Monday morning, when I went to work, I was an instructor for Braniff at that time. And I put that my jacket on and I put that little pin on my jacket and I went in agony and pain. I'm wanting to do like this, you know, so nobody will see my button. But I didn't cover it up, but I got through the first day and I was a little bit more comfortable after the first day because nobody asked me about my button. I wore that jacket all day and nobody, no, I take that back. I didn't wear it all day. I wore a shirt in the classroom. I took my jacket off and hung it up. But anyway, going in and out, nobody asked me and I made it through the whole week and nobody asked me about that button. So by Friday, I'm pretty bold. You know, I just walk right down the hallway to the training center and I walk in and of course I've got my jacket on that day and everything. We get ready for the test. I got about 25 graduate engineers in there and I'm training them, teaching them the principles of the airplane and the everything and the FAA. And then I said, okay guys, before the final test is over, or before we start the final test, is there any last questions? One hand right out in the middle. I said, yes sir, what's your question? He said, I've been looking at you wear that jacket with that little pin on it all week long. I thought, oh God, right in the middle of all these guys. You could have done it in the hallway at least, you know, out in front of the whole class. He said, what does that button mean? And I said, oh, that button's remind me to tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. And he said, for God's sakes, what's the best thing ever happened to you? I said, that's when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I said, how about you? Do you know him? And he said, no. I thought, wow. I said, well, see me after class. I'll answer that question for you. But I'm telling you, you have no idea the agony that I was in until it broke. And of course, that changed the whole class. Yeah. I mean, after I was asked that question and then I responded, then several of them come up to me and said, oh, you're a Christian. I said, yes, I am. And that broke the ice. And so we got to talking about Jesus and the class and all kinds of good things. It's amazing how Jesus can do things. But it won't be without trials and tests. But I'd like to tell you that also last week, some of you have heard about the hurricane that came off of the Mexican coast, right? Somebody sent me an email or called me or something the other day and told me, said, Thurman, you need to know that there is the largest, most powerful hurricane ever in history going to hit Mexico in about 4 hours. And I went immediately to my computer and I looked up the weather and here was this thing that was 200 mile an hour sustained winds with gusts to 250 miles an hour. So what do you think I did?
Right.
Went and got everybody I could find. And we prayed and we went to the throne of grace. We asked God, we remitted everybody's sins down there. You know, I mean, I know there's lots of people got sins, don't you?
Yeah.
But I don't want to see everybody tore up. And so we prayed and we said, Lord, we remit their sins and we praise you and thank you for being merciful, a merciful God. And we ask you to dissipate that thing, lower it down, Lord, where it won't do any damage to people's houses and no deaths. And we praise you and worship you and thank you. And we did all those things. And within just a very short period of time, the thing had went from 250 or 200 to 250 to 160. And then within another hour or two after it hit land, you know, it had almost gone down and it went away without doing just a whole lot of damage. Now then, you want to know why God told us to pray? Hallelujah. Now then, if we pray, just think, if me and just four or five of my people can pray, now I don't know who else might have been praying, but I know we were. And so I'm not going to do it like some people does. Well, you know, okay, so I don't know those people down there in Mexico, so, you know, I'm just let it hit them, you know, I don't care. No, that's right, Ms. Jackie. We do love those people, don't we? Yes. Well, they're human beings just like us, and you know, and we won't. If there's nobody else around that's going to know how to do this, I know if the winds were coming here and I didn't know how to do this, and just like the other day, I know Kim and Scott was over at some, I think it was a church or whatever, and there was some tornadoes or whatever coming in, and they were talking about what they were going to do and all these kind of things, And Kim, the woman, you know, she says, oh, I know what we're going to do. We're going outside. We're going to rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. And so she went outside and some of the young boys, you know, that was there, they went out with her and she's speaking to this storm in the name of Jesus, commanding this thing to dissipate in Jesus' mighty name and thanking the Lord for giving her the power to do it. And then she says, thank you, Lord, it's done, and turns to walk back inside. And then boys that went out with her said, I ain't never seen nobody do nothing like that. But when she knows that she's a daughter of the King, she's a princess of the King of the universe, and that he's given her all power and all authority, why would she let a storm come in and tear up a place of business or a church, wherever she's at, when she has that power within her? But just think, how many of us in this room have that power in us? All of us that are believers in Jesus. Every one of us that can say, Jesus is my Lord. Now, if you're ashamed of him and you can't say Jesus is my Lord, you need to get saved because you don't have that power in you. It won't work for you. You know, but if you believe, it will work. In other words, when we see prayer, and like last week, when we were there in Matthew 7, the Lord says, ask and you might receive. No. Seek and you will find, knock and it might be open to you. No. And how many people that ask get an answer? All of us. So if we have that kind of power, a while ago I was talking to Tony there back in the last year. He kind of broke a shoulder, arm or something. And I don't know how it happened, but he's right there. If he tell me if I mess up somewhere. But anyway, he done something. And he even went to the doctor and they told him it was broken. Isn't that right, Tony? Yeah, and it was broken, and so they needed to do surgery and set him all up for wanted to say. He says, No. I'm gonna let my Lord take care of it. Jesus. I'm just gonna trust Jesus. But sir, don't you know your shoulder's broke? You need surgery. Well, he knows the surgeon. The main surgeon. And he's not just a little bitty surgeon either, is he? No. I mean, if you can trust him, can he fix an arm? But you know, it's tough when it's your body and it won't work. And you got an arm that don't work. But Tony come home and said, I'm going to trust God. And he trusted the Lord. And how long did it take him to completely heal your arm, Tony?
4 or 5 months.
4 or 5 months. But that arm, which is not going to work, he can raise that thing straight up and down anything he wants to. Your arm works right. Just right, Tony? You see, and of course, I don't know if Tony's like me or not, but the thing I like about that the best is that he doesn't charge us for house calls. Do you know that? You don't ever have to worry about getting in debt. If you mess up and do something and you come to God and you use his plan, which he's told us about how to pray, and then believe. That's the secret. Pray and believe. And you've got to know him. Now then, if you do, let's go to, let's see, let's where I'm going to start today in the scripture I was going to use, Luke 18. Let's go to Luke 18 in the King James Bible. Luke 18, start with verse 1, and we're going to read Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Again, this is talking about prayer. And he spoke a parable unto them to to this end, that men ought sometimes to pray.
Always.
Oh, how often?
Always.
Isn't it amazing when you really look at the Word of God, just exactly like it's really written? It really carries some weight, doesn't it? And Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I wonder how many men or women, far as that goes, they faint. I mean, when something happens, you know, we don't stand on His promises. We just seem to look at the circumstances of whatever it is and say, oh my goodness, I can't do that. You know, I just can't do that. But we can. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God and neither regarded man. Do we know people like that?
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of them around. Let's go to verse 3. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God or nor regard man. Now there's a lot of people like this in the world. Let's see what he said in verse 5. Yet because this widow or this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wears me out. I wonder why God used a woman there. Because He knew us men, we don't have that drive. But He knows what He put in you women. Yeah, that tenacity that He put in you girls. I mean, I've seen you girls, you know, y'all want something and you're going to stay with it until you get it. And that's just the way y'all are. Well, this widow, I'm thinking here that in the NLT it talks about a woman, but here he talks about a widow. And the main thing, main reason I think God used a widow here is because a widow, she's not married. She has no husband. So if she had had a husband, see, and she's wearing this judge out, the judge would have probably called the husband and said, will you get this woman off of my back? And then when the husband says, honey, will you please leave that judge alone? He don't want to take that case. And technically speaking, what would that widow, or not the widow, but the wife, what would she have had to have done? She would have had to have obeyed her husband. But see, she don't have a husband. She had got nobody to tell her what to do except herself. And she's got this drive. Yet because of this widow, she troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she just wears me out. And the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge said. Hear what he's saying. So what do you think he's trying to tell us when it comes to prayer? Pray one time?
No.
Let me tell you all a story. And I was telling Dave about this the other day. There is a Baptist preacher that I know that years ago, he was just like all the rest of us Baptists. He didn't believe in the supernatural very much. He didn't believe in healing, didn't believe in we could cast out demons or none of that stuff. He just was a good Baptist preacher. And one day he got a hold of these scriptures that we just read, where the Lord says, do not give up. Stay in there. Hang in there. And he began to read that in Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 18. And he began to read this. And you know, the more he read these scriptures, the more he realized, I don't believe this book. You know, I'm a pastor of a church, and I try to teach people something that I don't even believe myself. If I believe these things, he said, I would pray until it's done. So anyway, the Lord continued to work on him, convict him, that his word was true. Now, how many of you believe God's word's true?
Yes.
Okay, so if God said it, can we stand on it?
Yes.
So one day he said, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Sister Sue, whatever she was, she come down on Wednesday night and she said, I need to put my name on a prayer list for healing. I've got a flu or whatever it is. And of course, usually that's what he did, put the name on the list. And, you know, and maybe during the prayer meeting, he had mentioned Sister Sue, you know, Lord, do something, or Lord, give her the right medicine to take. You know how we pray. It's so sad, but that's why we pray. In fact, I've had people recently call me on two or three times in the last week to ask me to pray that the doctor's hand will be guided in somebody's surgery. And I said, I don't pray like that. I pray for God to heal people. I don't pray that God will direct the hands of the doctor. I don't think he needs that. I think I just need to ask him to I forgive their sins, and then I pray for God to heal them. That's what I want. And then say, it's done.
Right.
You know, that's the way I pray. So anyway, he saw all this stuff, and he starts thinking, okay, if God says don't give up, and he gave us this scripture, this woman, this widow, that's coming to this judge, and she's telling him, I want justice. He said, woman, I got time to mess with you. Leave me alone. The next day, she's up there saying, I want justice. This man's not treating me fair. I want justice. You're the judge. I'm not stopping. I want justice. The judge finally says, my gosh, I'm not afraid of God or man. This woman is just wearing me out. Every day she's on my doorstep, knocking on my door. She wants justice. So he said, neither because I don't fear God or man, but I just can't handle this woman. So he said, okay, woman, I'll take your case. And he got her justice. And then she left him alone. And he says, in fact, let's look at the next verse before we go on here. Let's see what it says. The next verse. And it says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, did he say in Matthew the other day that if we knock, seek, and act, and ask, and all that, every one of us would get our answer?
Yes.
He did. Did he say in these few verses, if we do all this, he will answer?
Yes.
Then why do we give up so easy? So anyway, this pastor, this Baptist preacher, he began to meditate on all these scriptures. He said, Lord, you made us the promise. Did he make us the promise?
Yes.
So I pray. Now, this is the way we love for it to happen. You know, since Kim sat here and she got healed, this is the way we love it. When she don't even come up, she stays at her chair, and I pray a prayer, and she gets healed and don't even have to come forward. That's the way we really like it. You know that?
Amen.
But he don't do everybody like that.
No.
You know, some people suffer, and they're in pain and agony, and we pray over them, 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 and pray over them. And after 19 hours, it sounds like, we look at our watch, we've been there for 5 minutes. Is that the way it works? I mean, feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? When you say, I want you to pray an hour, and you say, an hour? That's forever. But when you get through that hour, I've got a really good TV program that you'll really love. How long is it? Oh, it's only 4 hours. Oh, good. That'd be no problem. I can watch that for 4 hours. But I can't pray for 5 minutes. Is that the way we do? Sure, we do that. And so wonder why we don't get our prayers answered when we spend hours watching TV, you know, but no time with God and praying. So this Baptist preacher, he began to look at all these things, and he's thinking now. He's in the Word, and he's reading this over and over. God said he will answer my prayer. He even told me to take the example of this judge. Is that what he said?
Yes.
I'm trying to tell you, if you can't do nothing else, just think, this woman, this widow, she's not going to take no for an answer. She's going to stay on that judge's doorstep, and she's not taking no answer except, I'll solve your case for you until he does that. She's going to be on his case. And he said, and he gave us an example. If the world will do this, how much more will my Heavenly Father hear you if you'll just stay on his doorstep? So this preacher one day said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to set down a new set of rules. Anytime anybody comes to this church for prayer, we're not going to put them on the prayer list. We're not going to have a prayer list no more. We don't believe in praying for somebody every day. We're just not going to do that. But if they come here and they call in the week, in the middle of the week, or on Sunday, whenever it is, or if they come up here and say, or they call me on Tuesday afternoon and say, Pastor, I've got this terrible pain in my side or my head or whatever, and I tell them, come to the church. Come to the church. Come down here to the church, and while you're coming, I've got four prayer warriors lined up for the first 2 hours. And I'm gonna get a team of people, and I'm gonna have four people. When I call this four, they're gonna come down here, and probably by the time you get here, they're gonna be here. And then those four people are gonna take a 2 hour shift, and they're gonna pray over you one by one, or all at the same time, or however they wanna do it. They're gonna pray over you for 5 minutes, then they're gonna read scripture over you, or they're gonna pray over you for 1 minute. Are they going to pray over you for 30 minutes or whatever they want? But that four people is going to be there with you praying over your situation for 2 hours, somehow, some way. Now you may only pray a few minutes in that 2 hours, but if you can't think of nothing else to say, then read scripture. Take the word of God and read scripture to them. But you must be here with this person for 2 hours, four of you. And he says, when four people spend 2 hours praying over that person, if the problem's not solved, then that person stays here, and those four people go home, and I call four more. And they come in, and they pray. Well, we're going to get people to line up on our church that say, I will be a prayer warrior. You know, I can pray between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the afternoon, or I can pray between 6 in the morning and 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I can't pray from 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock till 5 because I'm working, but I can pray any other time. So he said, I started making a list of people. And said, so when I got that down, when people would say, put me on the prayer list, I say, okay, come down. I call four people and they start praying. He says, it didn't make it what they come there with. Some of the people that come there would come and say, I just been to the doctor. They call him, Pastor, I just went to the doctor. I got the feeling bad. And they say, I have brain tumors. Y'all ever heard of anybody with brain tumors? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we've all seen this. There's been people in this room that had brain tumors. But he says, they're all, you know, people, they get into fear. Oh, God, what am I going to do, Pastor? I say, come to the church. We know the healing Jesus. And he comes to church here. You know, he serves here. This is his church. So come here, and we're going to start praying for you. And so they come and start praying. He said, they had been doing this for almost 20 years whenever I met him. Almost 20 years. And he said, we never had a failure, not one time. In that, everybody came, their need was met, whatever the need was, we never had a failure, and it never took more than 24 hours for God to answer our prayer.
Wow, that is awesome.
24 hours. So, you know, when I heard him talk about that here a while back, I thought, you know, and I'm reading all these things about prayer, I thought, you know, I can understand how he can get in this groove. I mean, God is begging us to pray. But we come in and we have somebody that's got a problem, just like, you know, Lord, I need a job. I need a job. Okay. I mean, I have seen this happen so quickly. In fact, I've had young men and young women both that come here and say, I need a job, or I need to sell my house, or whatever. And some of them happens almost immediately. Some of them takes a little longer. But we only pray maybe one time. And they get their answer. Yeah. Now, what if somebody was there to pray? And what if I prayed for somebody for 15 or 20 minutes? And then what if there was somebody else that could just move into the next 15 or 20 or 30 minutes? And then when you got through, you go to the next one and the next one. And we're just continual prayer about this one person, either one of us, or if there's four of us on that team, one of us prays for 15 minutes and then we read scripture, or we just sit back and read scripture and somebody else pray. Maybe the next one prays 2 minutes. Maybe the next one can pray 10 or 15 minutes. You know, whatever. But just think, knowing that God's answers to his promises are always yes.
Amen.
Always yes. See, you know, why do we lose these battles? Because we don't pray. Is that right? Or we kneel down here and we pray with somebody. Just like the night that the Lord moved on my heart with Ed Brock years ago in 1986. Here's a man with terminal cancer. I have no idea about remitting sins. I don't have a clue how all that works back in those days. But I went to Ed over and over and over in the hospital telling him, I said, Ed, don't die. Jesus said right here in James 5, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus did say, and in fact, I want to put that scripture on the board, James 5, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus, again, through the apostle James, made this awesome statement. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Let them come in prayer for him and anoint him with oil. And the prayer offered in faith might heal the sick. It will?
Every time.
Now, wait a minute. If this is true, and it's got to be because it's in God's Word, then why does everybody that gets sick almost go to a doctor instead of to Jesus? Is that a good question? But, you know, 99% of the people that get sick, instead of coming to Jesus, will go to a doctor. Why? There you go. Lack of faith. We don't believe. We don't believe that Jesus will do what he said. So I don't blame Jesus for not healing us. Anytime you could look right in his face and say, you're a liar. I don't believe you. How do you think that makes the king feel? But you know that's what we're doing. Every time we don't trust him, we're calling him a liar. And you know, I don't like for you to call me a liar.
No.
Because I'm not a liar. I don't even like for you to give an impression that I don't know what I'm talking about. Because I know what I'm talking about. So if you come up and say, oh, Thurman, you can't do that. I don't like that. Because I know I can, with Christ and me together, I know there ain't nothing impossible with me and him. So I don't even like for you to say, but so can you imagine if I said, well, you know, I'll do this for you. And you say, I believe you're lying. And then you come back to me later and say, well, now I believe you will. Now I say, it's too late now. Forget it. You see what I mean? I mean, these scriptures, let's read some more of this. Let's see what he says here. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then verse 16, confess your faults or your sins one to another and pray one for another. And you notice he didn't say pray for 5 minutes. He said, confess your faults one to another, all of them, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now here, we've done everything we know how to do to train you that you, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become the righteousness of God in Christ. Is that right?
Yes.
So then that part that says the prayer of an effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that should be talking about us, you, me. Because we're sons and daughters of God, right? You can't get any more righteous than we who are in this room right here. All of us that know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we washed in his blood and he cleaned us up and he made us just like himself. And you can't get no better than that. And the thing you need to understand that when you start praying, when the Father in heaven, when he's sitting up there with nothing to do, unfortunately, when he's sitting up there on his big sofa with his big glass of iced tea, you know, like Texans, he's got to be a Texan. You know, God's got to be a Texan. He's got to have that big glass of iced tea. You know, he's sitting up there on that throne. When one of his children start praying in faith, I can just see him knocking the glass of tea over saying, did I hear one of my children pray in faith down there? Did you hear them? They're guaranteeing that I'll do that. I said I would do that, and they're guaranteeing that I will. Oh, my goodness. Send a couple of angels down there in the Holy Ghost and do something with that boy.
Yes.
Is that? I mean, just think. He has nothing to do because we, his children, are not doing anything he told us to do. We're not praying. And if we don't pray, what can Jesus do if you don't pray?
Nothing.
Now, what can he do after you pray? That's exactly right. And we need to get that in our heart and our spirit. And so we need to start praying for people. We need to get something set up. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we really need to do this. And even if we just did it in the daytime, I mean, we don't have to do it 24 hours a day. Let's say we got an 8-hour day, you know, like from 9 o'clock in the morning, like we opened the ministry center at 9 o'clock. 9 to 5:30. So we had a time like that. We had people that would, three or four at a time, that would be willing to come for an hour or 2 hours or whatever. You know, we just need to discuss this among ourselves and see what we can do. But when you put your name on the prayer list, if we have somebody that needs to be prayed for, they come down here and we send two or three people down here and we pray for them and we pray and read scripture. I mean, you know, it's real simple. It's real simple. We come sit right here in the sanctuary and the guy or person, the girl or guy that's sick or their child is sick, we could have them sitting right there and, you know, we could have tea or coffee or anything to drink. You can eat and pray and drink at the same time. You know, is that right? Yeah, God, you know, you don't have to do this all. We don't have to say, oh, God, we don't have to be one of those King James. If thou, you know, just pray. That's all he's wanting us to do, right? If we pray, if we had a prayer team or several prayer teams that could go a couple hours at a time and just think that time when I called those guys together at Lakeland Baptist Church and we prayed for 2 hours for a man with stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer, and then we didn't pray for him virtually no more after that. We only prayed one 2-hour session, although there was 28 of us, and we did all, every one of us prayed once or twice, and when we left there in 2 hours, I just knew it was done, and so I didn't call Ed for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I was really afraid to, because I didn't have any faith back in those days. You know, I mean, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. And so as I began to, 3 or 4 weeks later, when I saw Ed in church that Sunday, I said, Ed, how are you feeling? He said, oh, Thurman, it's great. He said, I went to the doctor this last week and this thing that was all over my body appears to be going away. So he said, you know, he said, the doctor even said, now they could send me to MD Anderson, give me some chemo treatments and they might be able to kill this cancer. And I said, well, glory to God, I guess you're going in, aren't you? You can tell what I knew, nothing. But he went and he took 6 chemo treatments, and after 6 chemo treatments, Ed Brock was completely healed. And of course, after being completely healed, that last treatment on the way home, he reached over and hit the play button, and the play button, the tape, as he had his car, that scripture we just read came up, James 5, 14, 15, 16. And then he said that the tape recorder cut off, and this is what I heard. Ed, it wasn't M.D. Anderson that healed you. It was me, the Lord. And Ed broke into tears and cried and pulled off the side road and couldn't see how to drive for a little while. I can understand. But that changed that boy's life forever. Now, if God can do that with just 28 men praying for 1 2-hour session with a man with stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer, what can he do with something simple? I mean, but let's put it this way. With God, everything is simple. You know, there ain't nothing hard for God. You know, we start trying to category, oh, I got stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer, and I know there ain't nobody can heal me, not even God. That's not true. I mean, God can just speak a word. He can just point, you know, and you can be made completely whole. You know, I mean, I just stand in awe of what I've seen God do. I mean, somebody asked me a while ago to come to somebody's home to pray over somebody, and I says, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, the thing about it is, if I can pray in my pickup, on a cell phone for a guy 1,000 miles away that's got a crushed back, and in 1 minute God gives that man a brand new back. If I'm right here in this church praying for them, he can hear that prayer and heal that person. I don't need to go to their house to get it done. A team of prayer warriors that can come together and pray for anything. And of course, if the person is bad enough and they can't come here, then they can call us and we call the prayer warriors, and the prayer warriors, 3 or 4 of them come in, and they meet and they get right here and they start praying for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so because he's so sick he can't come. We just pray and pray and pray and pray and call God in remembrance, just like these scriptures says. And what did he say he would do? He said he will answer our prayer. Did he not? So with what we've learned that we can remit sin. Have we not? It's written in God's Word in John 20:23. If I confess their sin or remit their sin, he says their sins are remitted. Is that what he said?
Yes.
So if I can do that, then what did God limit us to? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's go on here in Luke 18. Let's go a little further here and see where we was. And verse 7 says, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him night, day and night?" Now see, there is a place where he's talking about we need to be praying night and day. So if we had a really bad case of something and we wanted that person healed, then he's going to find out what we're made out of. Are we willing to stay night and day? Now that takes somebody special. Do you see what I mean? You know, but still, you know, so we pray. Still, we only have this prayer time for 2 hours at a time, for four people at a time, and they pray for somebody for a few minutes, a minute or two or whatever. You know, whatever. But we pray, and then like I say, if everybody prays for the first 30 minutes and four of you do, and then you can't, nobody think of nothing else to say, then open the scripture and read some scripture. You know, do something, right? Read scripture, and then a few minutes, somebody will come up with something else they can say. You know, and then they say, "Oh, I'm going to pray again." And they start praying. Well, when their two-hour shift is up, then we get two new or four new people come in. What do you all think about this? Now then, here's the thing. When we prayed for Ed Brock like that, this was totally unorganized, except God organized it, and we saw Ed Brock get healed. Now, Ed Brock, after we prayed 1 2-hour session for him with terminal cancer, he began to get better every day. Now, what if we had to come back the next night and pray 2 more hours for Ed? Or what if we'd have come back every evening for a week and prayed 2 hours for him? He might have been totally healed in a week. You know that? Yeah. And I believe he would have, but we didn't do that. We only prayed one time, so it took 6 months for God to heal Ed, but Ed did get healed. So we could always have 3 or 4 people praying like this guy did, because he says, this Baptist preacher, he says, "When I got a hold of these scriptures, I thought to myself, you know, the reason we don't get anything from God is because we don't stay on his doorstep." Yeah. Is that what he said? I mean, did he really tell us there that he would answer every time? Did I not read that right? And he said, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bear long with them?" I tell you that he will avenge them. I like that, don't you? Lord, when you see we're going to be serious, we got somebody that's got this pain or problems, and we're going to pray. And man, I think about that prayer that Mike told us about here a while back, that testimony of that guy that come down to his shop and his whole world was falling apart. Yeah. Y'all remember that? Yeah. I mean, the world's falling apart, and Mike didn't get into the pity party with him, did he? He said, you know, we're children of the Most High God. You know, he said, we can pray for anything and God will do it. So let's just believe him. And boy, Mike went to the throne of God, bold as a lion, and began to pray and ask God for supernatural miracles that nobody could do but God. And what happened? He got it. The answers came. That was just one man praying one prayer. I don't know. Gracie might have been involved in that too. I don't know. But I know Mike was involved with it. Now, if God will do that, if just one of us is praying, what would he do if maybe 3 or 4 of us at a time are praying like that? Now then, now here's the part I love about this too. Here a while back, I went down to one of the electronic stores in Irving, and I'm there looking at some computer stuff, and I hear a guy scream and walks in the front door, big place, Thurman Scrivener. I thought, oh my goodness, who in the world? I turned around and here comes Tony. Not this Tony, another Tony. But a man, Tony, his name was Tony. He come running over. He said, "Thurman, how in the world are you doing?" I said, "Well, praise God, I'm doing good." He said, "Man, I'm telling you, I'm still telling everybody what happened to Ed Brock when we prayed for him years ago, how he got healed of cancer." And he's talking loud. The first words out of his mouth, all after, "Thurman, how are you doing? I'm telling you how I tell everybody about what happened. I was in on that prayer meeting." Now then, if there was 28 of us and he was one of the 28, he had just as much input into that as any of the rest of us, right? Yeah. We were all involved in that prayer. And God heard our prayer and healed a man that in 1986, MD Anderson, Mayo Clinic, and Louisville Hospital all said, this man will be dead in about 3 weeks. There's absolutely Nothing can be done with this man. He's going to die. And because of a handful of us Baptist deacons and Sunday school teachers that met in Lakeland Baptist Church and prayed for 2 hours in 6 months, Ed Brock was completely healed of terminal cancer. And today, that man's still alive and well today with no cancer in his body. That prayer of those men increased Ed's life by years. He was going to die. Oh, yeah, Ed Brock's still alive. He's still alive. He lives over in the Flower Mound. He's still alive. He's not dead. But just think, when three of the finest hospitals in the country, when MD Anderson and Mayo Clinic tells you this, you've got terminal cancer and it's stage 4 and it's in every organ of your body and there ain't nothing we can do. It's over. What do most people do? They give up. They don't have a church where there's somebody that's willing to pray. If that happened and we had a church or they had a church that believed in healing, they could pick up the phone and say, Pastor, I got a bad report today. The doctors say I ain't going to live but about 3 months, 3 weeks, whatever it was. I said, well, praise God. We're so glad that those doctors have the right to be wrong. Don't they? But, you know, God, how many times did God say He'd answer our prayer? If we cry out to Him day and night? Did he really say He would answer our prayer? Not only answer, He said He'd answer speedily, didn't He? Don't y'all love that? You know, wouldn't you like to be a member of a church that one day somebody said, you know, I believe miracles went away with the apostles. You say, oh, you need to come out to my church. We don't believe that at our church. We just prayed for this man here, so-and-so, and he got healed. We prayed for this girl here, and she got healed. And we don't have nobody in our church that gets sick. These are all outside people. All the people in the church, they know how to walk in divine health now. So they don't, if one of us even comes under just a little bitty attack, they just call the pastor and the pastor calls those 4 prayer warriors that he's got on the list. And those 4 prayer warriors pray one line prayer through for them. And that person calls back and says, Pastor, you can quit praying. I'm healed already. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be a member of a church like that? Yeah. Now, according to the Word of God, I think that's where we're supposed to be living. Jesus is trying to tell us something here. If you will pray, I will answer your prayer and I will do great and mighty things for you. Is that what He said?
Yes.
So what's been wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Verse 9 and 10, let's see what that says. And He spoke this parable unto certain which is trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. 2 men went up into the temple to pray. Now He's showing us how we don't want to pray. 2 men, it could be 4 men or 4 women or 2 men and 2 women, whatever, but anyway, this says 2. But 2 went up into the temple to pray. 1 a Pharisee and the other a publican. Okay, let's see what the next verse says. The Pharisee stood and prayed this with himself. God, I thank You that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this wicked publican, this tax collector. I fast twice every week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Boy, he's patting himself on the back, isn't he? Go to the next verse. And the publican standing afar off would not even lift up so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be abased, but the one that humbles himself shall be exalted. So when we sit down in a seat to pray for somebody, we say, Lord, cleanse my heart. Purify me by the blood of Jesus. And if there is, I know I'm bound to have messed up somewhere. I'm trying not to, and I know You know I'm trying not to, but Lord, cleanse me by Your blood that I'm clean and pure and holy in Your presence. Will He do that?
Yes,
yes He will. Verse 15 and 16. And they brought unto Him also infants that they would not touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them, said unto him, and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Like a little child. He wants you and me to be little children. Regardless of how old we are, in His sight, we are His children. Is that true?
Yes,
we are God's children, and He wants to treat us like little children. Next verse. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's a very good question. Verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Let's see what he said in verse 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, you lackest thou one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. When you think about come and follow me, now let me tell you what some are going to say. Some of you are going to be all for this prayer team, and some of you are going to say, no, I don't want nothing to do with that. I will not do it. I cannot be available. I have too many other things to do. When Jesus said, come and follow me, there might not be once a month that you would be called to come to pray for somebody. You never know. But it might be once a week, too. You can't ever tell. But I want you to think seriously. Lord, what would I do? Would I be one of those? Could I be a team member on the prayer team at the Living Savior Church so that if I'm called in the middle of the night, could I get up and go? But I'd hate to do it like that. I'd like, if we had somebody that, we had a team, I'd like to give them warning, you know, that we're going to have a prayer team and call you and say in the middle of the afternoon and say, you know, tonight you signed up for the 10 to 12 bracket on nights, and we need you to pray tonight from 10 to 12. Can you come? And they'd say, yes, I can be happy. I'll do that. I'll go home, get a few hours sleep and have a little bite to eat, and then I'll come on home. Or you might want to say, Lord, I'm going to go home and I'm going to fast tonight and then fast and pray tonight at the church for my 2 hours. Then I'll come home and pray and eat. So what do you think about something like this? I'll give you time to think about it. Think about it and let me know what you think. And would you like to be a prayer team, prayer warrior, you know, that would come? I would, and you might have a better idea or better time. And we might have it in the evening from 6 o'clock till 12 o'clock or 6 o'clock till 11 o'clock or something like that. Or we might have it only in the daytime from 9 till 6 in the afternoon or whatever. But I just believe with all my heart that if we start something like this from these scriptures that we're reading, Jesus is laying something out for us as a church that if we want to be a part of this, He's going to be there. Don't you agree with that? But that's going to require something on our part, you know, or we're going to have to be a part of this team. And if we do, I believe we're going to become a church that just like that Baptist preacher that told me, he said, when we got a hold of this and we started doing this, he said, we never had to pray. And he said, we stayed 24/7. He said, people came in and prayed for 24/7. And he said, we never had to stay more than 24 hours until the person was completely healed. When I heard that, I thought, you know, wow. I wonder why every church in the world don't do that. I'll tell you why. I hate to say this about all of us, including myself. We're a bunch of wimps. You know, that's what's wrong with us. We don't want to spend time for God. Is that right? You know, I mean, I've had people back when I used to be in the Baptist church, and whenever I was an administrator of a part of the church, and maybe the Sunday school division or whatever, trying to find teachers to teach a 45-minute Sunday school class on Sunday morning was absolutely hardest thing in the world. You ask people to do it? Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. The first time I was asked to do it, I told them I couldn't do it either. I said, I can't teach a Sunday school class. Well, I'm glad God forced me to do it. Because if he hadn't forced me, I would have never studied. If I'd have never studied, I'd have never had the faith that I have today. And I would never have been where I am with God today. I would not have the testimonies that I have. Cheryl and I come home last night after that meeting, and she looked me right in the eye and said, honey, there's nobody, nobody that I know that walks in the anointing you walk in. She said, you have some awesome stories. I said, you know, who's behind all those stories?
Jesus.
Absolutely. He's the one done every one of them. I didn't do none of them. He's the one that healed everybody. But when you get to pray the prayer of faith for those people and see those kind of miracles happen, don't you like to be attached to that? I do. I love it. I love being able to tell a story about what happened to my granddaughter or anybody. Don't you love that kind of power with God? So when we look at this, there it goes. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth. Now if Jesus heard these things, and he said unto him, yes, yet you lack us one thing. He said, sell everything that you have, distribute it unto the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Sometimes following Jesus is not easy. 23 and 24. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. See, rich people ain't got time for Jesus. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Yeah. If you got lots of money, you got other things you want to do. You don't want to come spend time with God, as a rule. But I tell you what, I had a man one time, I still know this guy, he's a business owner. And when he came back from Vietnam, he came back after I did. I was a little older than him. And he went to Lakeland Baptist Church where I went, and he had a very successful business, and he was making quite a bit of money, but he was having all kinds of problems. And his wife and children were sick, and he had all kinds of problems. So I went out to see him one day, and I told him, I said, you know, I work in accounting committee at the church, and I said, I don't know how much money you make, but you sure do live in a big, beautiful house and drive a nice, beautiful truck and all that stuff. And I said, you don't hardly give any money to the kingdom of God. He said, well, Thurman, I give some. I said, well, I know you give some, but I said, you know, I said, you don't tithe. Well, no, I don't tithe. He said, I don't. And I said, well, but God says you're supposed to. And I said, I believe that's why your children are having the problems they're having, and I believe that's why your wife is sick, and I believe that's why you're having troubles in your business, because you're not obeying God. He said, I never heard anybody talk like this. And I said, well, that's what I believe. So I said, why don't you start tithing for a while and let's just see what happens in your business and everything. So he started tithing. He said, okay, I'll do it. And so he did. He started tithing, giving 10% of his income every week to Lakeland Baptist Church. About 6 months, he called me and said, Thurman, you got to come talk to me. I said, okay. So I went over and I said, well, how can I help you? He said, well, I started doing what you said. I said, yeah, I'm still on the accounting committee, and I see you have some nice checks coming in every Sunday. I see you must make pretty good money, but I figured you made good money. I said, God's really blessing you, isn't he? He said, in fact, he has blessed me so abundantly, I can't afford to pay the tithe no more. I thought about that a minute, and I said, now, wait a minute, I don't understand that. I said, if you're being blessed abundantly, why can't you pay the tithe? He said, it wasn't so hurtful when you have to give $100 a week. But he said, when you have to start giving $1,000 a week, he said, I can't afford that. I said, you can't afford to give $1,000? That means you must be making $10,000 a week? He said, well, yeah, lots of times I make $10,000 more. But he said, I just can't stand to give God 10%. And I said, okay. I said, let me pray for you. He said, okay. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, take his business back down to where he can pay $100 a week. And he stopped me. Can you imagine a man stopping me in the middle of a prayer? Because it wasn't what he wanted. I said, so if you can't afford to give God $1,000 when you're making $10,000, and it was so much easier to give $100 when you were only making $1,000, I said, I can ask him to bring your business back down to $1,000 a week. He said, no, I don't want that. I said, you know, if I was you, I believe I would ask God to forgive me for my stupidity. And I would start praising him and thanking him that I could give $1,000 a week and even make it more. And so we talked and laughed about that. And he said, you're absolutely right. He said, here, I just started listening to the enemy. So he said, I'm just going to start giving more than a tithe. There you go. And so anyway, that man, he started getting wealthier and wealthier. His wife stopped getting sick. His kids stopped getting sick. Everything started working. He started being blessed. And he had a piece of land down in, in Garland, I think, or somewhere down in there, Grand Prairie or somewhere. And he had like 3 or 4 acres of land down there. And one day his business got so big he couldn't handle it on all that land. So he went to the Lord and asked the Lord, should I sell this piece of property? And the Lord told him, yes, sell it. And so he sold it for millions of dollars, millions. And then he went to another place and the Lord showed him a place where there was 20 acres of land he could buy it. It was under in a bankruptcy. And he bought that piece of land for just a song. And he had enough money left over to build all new buildings on that 20 acres. And he was blessed abundantly. And over the next few years, the Lord blessed that man completely abundantly until he finally retired. And he retired a rich man. Now then, does it pay good dividends to do it God's way?
Yes,
it does. I don't understand why we can't do that. But anyway, we seem to have a problem when we're rich. So many men. But, you know, thank God. When Jesus saw this, he was very sorrowful. And he said, how hardly it is for they that have riches, because they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. 25 and 26. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, then who can be saved? You know, when you stop and think about that, wow, let's see what he says in verse 27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. If you're depending on your own self to get saved, you're in trouble. You can't do it. Only God can save you by his grace. So then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed you. Now, man, that's something, but there's very few people do this. But look at the results of verse 29 and 30, what he says here. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left your house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So, you know, if you really want to be rich, and how many of you would like to really be filthy rich? I would. Don't be ashamed to hold up your hand. You know, I want to be rich. Rich people can help people. You know, I mean, if I'm going to do what God says and obey him, he says that whatever I give into his kingdom, he's going to bless me abundantly more over and more over and more over. Is that what he said?
Yes.
In other words, once I get saved, maybe I was broke as I could be when I was 11 years old when I got saved, so I didn't have to worry about a rich man not being able to enter the kingdom because I didn't have no money. But as I have served him and loved him and worshiped him and praised him over the years, he has blessed me abundantly. So now then, I'm not poor anymore. I am blessed, and I don't want to stay where I am. Whenever we were in Baltimore the other day, Paul Sanchez, the pastor there, was reading in Job about decreeing a thing and it shall come to pass. So I told Cheryl, I said, why don't we just decree that we're going to be multimillionaires? And it shall come to pass. So I don't know. Some of y'all didn't hold your hand up when you were talking about wanting to be rich, so I guess maybe you don't want to be a multimillionaire. I don't know. But I would like to be a multimillionaire. And I know that if the Lord were to drop those multi-millions on this church, and he could, he can do it. Like I told all of y'all that come to this church on a regular basis, I'm going to make a donation to each one of y'all of a very significant amount of money. And I can just imagine after that first Sunday when I do that, what's going to happen here the next Sunday. They might not come to see Jesus, but if they think they're going to get a few thousand dollars, they'll come to church. Is that right? Yeah. Wow. And then not only were you going to receive manifold or many times over in this present time now and in the world to come, life everlasting. God wants to bless us, does he not? Let's see what the next verse says. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophet concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on. Verse 33 and 34. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the things that they shall rise and the day they shall rise again, and in the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this thing was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. You see how easy it is for the Word of God to speak and nobody hear it, because it happened right here. So it's still happening. Until he's ready for you to get it, you won't get it. Verse 35 and 36. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way side hearing, begging, and hearing the man, the multitude passed by, he asked what it meant. Next verse. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Let's see what they said. Next verse. And they which went before him rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, all this is telling us how prayer works. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, next verse, saying, what will thou shall that I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. Now this man, did he cry out 9 days? He just cried out 2 times. Yeah. But he's crying out. And when everybody told him, shut up, quit talking, you're disturbing the master, what did he do? He kept crying out. See, that's what we're going to have to learn to do. We're going to have to learn to cry out to the Lord. Receive your sight, your faith has made you whole. First, next two verses. And immediately, now this is what we'd like for all prayer to be answered, right? But it ain't going to happen like that all the time. So you just have to get used to it. You know, I can tell you for sure that when, after God put Cheryl and I together and I started praying for her as my wife, I mean, it didn't make any difference what I prayed for her for, she got an instantaneous answer to prayer. Now, she loved that. You know, anything she needed, she'd come to me and say, honey, would you pray for me? And I'd do, and bam, whatever she needed was instantly taken care of. Until one day, she come to me and she had a little growth on her chest right here. And she come up to me and she said, honey, you see this little growth right here? I don't like that thing. I don't like that at all. So I want you to pray and I want it gone now in Jesus' name. So I said, okay. So I prayed. I thanked the Lord. And the next day she come to me and she said, honey, you need to pray again. It's still there. I said, okay. So I prayed again and thanked the Lord. And the third day when she come up, she said, what have you sinned? Where have you sinned? What did you do wrong? I said, what do you mean? She said, you have never had to pray for me 3 times in a row to get an answer from God. So you must have sinned somewhere. God's not answering your prayer. I told her, I said, no, honey, I really think that I don't think I've sinned, but I may have. But if I do, I repent. But I said, I think what's happening here, you're getting so spoiled. You know, that every time I pray for you, you get your answer just like that. Now, how easy would it be to get spoiled or something like that? Don't you love that? I think we ought to be like that. I really think we ought to be able to pray for our mate and see an answer just like that every time. Now, I believe if we would obey God and do what he said, I believe that would happen. So anyway, I prayed for her again, and the next day it was gone. And so I told her, I said, you know, there's places in the scripture where the Lord tells us to keep on praying, right? Yeah. Just like we saw today, to those that pray night and day, he does not turn us away. He will heal us, or he'll answer our prayer, and it will be speedily. But this man, because he cried out to Jesus just a couple of times, immediately he received his sight, and he followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And if we start doing this in our church, and we start seeing answers to prayer, and it can't fail, if we obey God and do what he says, if we can get something figured out how we're going to do this, and then y'all will put your name on a list for a prayer team, and you'll be willing to come and pray, I'm going to guarantee you that we're going to start seeing things that's beyond your wildest dreams happen in this church. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Father, I praise you and thank you for the privilege to come to you. I thank you that you're the King of Kings. I thank you that we live in an age when we can have this book, when we can study this book, and we can see what you told them about how to pray, and it's for us too. So, Lord, we want to learn how to pray. We want to learn how to pray in faith. We want to see you do your great and wonderful things for people. And we want to be known as a church that prays and sees answers to our prayers. So, Father, thank you for meeting the needs of the people that will be parts of this team and the ones that will be parts of the ones that we pray for. And, Lord, for all those people that we pray for, we realize that some people will not be able to come here. They'll be far off. But we realize you hear our prayers and answer anyway. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for making this church into a church that prays and sees answers to prayer, and that you do great and mighty things. And I give you praise and glory and thank you up front, Father, for being the mighty God that you are, and for all the answers to prayer that I've seen you do. I give you praise and glory, for you are the mighty King. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.